Dear friends, without further ado, let's go ahead and invite our dear guest speaker for tonight, Sheikh Farooq Sekaleshvar from the Islamic Republic of Iran, with a loud Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-Tahirin. Would like to first offer my sincere condolences on the demise anniversary of the late Imam Khomeini. In some ways, we're all indebted to him for he's paved the way for us coming to Qom and learning and inshallah propagating knowledge. I won't take too much time, just one or two concepts I want to introduce inshallah at the refresh. When this talk of hukuma, governance, there are two types in Islam. One is a Sharia-based governance, and another is a tariqa or haqiqa-based governance. With the Sharia-based governance, it's pivoted around and is centered around the zahir and the outer dimensions of things. You do certain actions, it has to be done, and then you will recompense. Those actions will be recompensed. If you steal something and it's proven, or if you commit another crime, actions have to be done, and with those actions done, then the punishment or the sentence will be issued. But with a Sharia governance, it's all pivoted around the outer dimension of things. And that's why sometimes within the Sharia governance, someone can come and lie and do things. And since the Sharia is based on the zahir, that thing may go free and it may go unidentified. Because when the criterion is the zahir, things may escape. And people can come and lie and steal and cheat and do many things, and they may not be sentenced for their crimes. So with the Sharia governance, it's pivoted around the zahir. But in the Quran, there's also reference to another form of governance. Although, don't get me wrong, the Sharia-based governance is what all the prophets were commanded to exercise. And even we have traditions where the Holy Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, إِنَّمَا أَغْضِي بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْأَيْمَانِ, that I'm going to judge and govern amongst you with the ظاهري proofs, with witnesses. What is the proofs which are pertaining to the ظاهر in the courts? Nothing beyond that. And the oaths that people swear upon, that's it. And most of the prophets are like that, if not all, with one or two exceptions. But then we have another form of governance. Here, this is a tariqa governance, where it pertains to the batin, it pertains to the soul. Here, it's not like the judge who has to work through the proofs and the who has sworn to what. With the tariqa governance, the wali sees the soul and the judgment is made. When Khidr alayhi salam killed the ghulam. Ghulam in Arabic meaning was probably 7 to 10 years of age. That was a tariqa governance. Because with tariqa governance, you see the state of the soul, age, sex, the circumstances, that has no role to play. What is the state of the soul? And the state of the soul may be so corruptive in actuality. They're not seeing something which is going to happen in the future. It's so corrupt that they know what's going to happen in the future. As a result of the corrupt, the actually corrupt soul, not a potentially corrupt soul. And so, on seeing such a soul, Khidr was ma'mur bit-tariqa. He was commanded to exercise the tariqa governance. He saw the ghulam, the soul, he killed it. In the tariqa form of governance, you don't ask, what is your age? What is your sex? In the sharia governance, yes. If someone steals something, they go through 26 conditions. And then, assuming all those were present, then they cut the hand. With the tariqa form of governance, the criterion is the soul. They don't look at these secondary issues. If a soul is corrupt, then that soul will be slain. If you are commanded to exercise the tariqa governance. So, an example I usually give, you have two doctors. And with one doctor, Dr. A, they see that the patient is terminally ill and on the machine, and Dr. A then plugs off or unplugs the ventilation machine. In another scenario with Dr. B, here Dr. B doesn't give any medication, doesn't put the patient on the machine and never unplugs, but decides to withdraw and is passive in his or her treatment. Look, in these two cases, with the first scenario, the Sharia will say, look, you unplugged, and therefore you actively killed, and therefore a punishment will come. But the Sharia will remain silent in relation to the doctor in the second scenario, because they did nothing, they were silent. But on a tariqa level, both of the doctors are khabith, in the sense that both of them shortened the life of the patient. But within the jurisdiction of the Sharia can only say, this is haram. But in the jurisdiction of the tariqa, the second scenario is just as bad. And the same scenario can be repeated in other examples. For example, when you're silent in the face of oppressors and oppression, the same, you may not sometimes be called or be doing something haram based on the Sharia, but tariqa wise, you're just as khabith as the oppressor, as has been mentioned in the video presentations. And there are other examples where sometimes the Holy Messenger was commanded to exercise the tariqa. For example, the very well-known story in Sheikh Saduq's Khisal, where there were three people who wanted to kill the Holy Messenger. The Holy Messenger wanted to, it's a very long story, I didn't want to go through the whole story, but they sent Amirul Mu'minin. Amirul Mu'minin got rid of one of them. The other two said, take us to the Holy Messenger. They were taken. The second one was also ordered to be executed. The third one, Jibreel, came and said, don't execute this person. Even though, based on the Sharia governance, the third had to also be killed. But then Jibreel said, Allah said that this third person is Sakhi, has a very dignifying and generous soul, bil fi'l, in actual terms. And this is going to lead to his salvation, and that person later became a Muslim. The point being, though, he saw the soul, that was the state, something which was on a par with the Sharia to be, for the person to be slain, was overruled, because the tariqa governance overrules the Sharia governance in certain places. Okay, now, I'm slowly, well, these are just concepts for the main point I want to introduce. Now, in Qiyamah, the day of resurrection, it's all a haqiqi governance there. Everything there is under true haqiqi tariqi governance. Iqra kitabak, read your soul. Kafa binafsik al-yawm alayka hasiba. Your soul is enough, sufficient to today on the day of resurrection to go against you as a reckoner. It's all your soul. La tujzawna illa ma kuntum ta'malun. You're not going to be recompensed save those actions that you've done. You are your actions. It's all cause and effect. There's no escaping this. This is a haqiqi governance. In the day of resurrection, 100% it's a takwini, providential, haqiqi governance. Okay. Today, in this dunya, it's a sharia-based governance. Then Allama Tabatabai says, the dhuhur of the 12th Imam, Raj'at and Qiyamah, these three are one reality. But they differ in their unveiling of the truth. In Qiyamah, it's 100% the truth will be unveiled. It's a takwini phenomenon. During the 12th Imam's advent, may Allah expedite it, here we have many reports that the 12th Imam himself, his close disciples, maybe the 313 too, they will exercise governance based on the tariqa. They will see, you can't escape the governance of the Imam. They will see the soul and then exercise governance. Others may not, but he himself, his disciples, those who he has given or is to give authority, these people are not ordinary people. And so, with this, you see a degree of unveiling is going to happen with the advent of the 12th Imam. More truth is going to unveil. You see, if today, even in this world today, if people would come, criminals, and say, I did this, the cases in the judiciary would all come to zero. But the thing is, they're not doing it. They're not unveiling the truth, because they're criminals. But justice and the elimination of oppression, yes, with the time of the 12th Imam, because of the tariqa governance, it will keep on coming less and less and less, because they are commanded to exercise the tariqa governance. Raj'at, even more will be unveiled. It's a separate discussion, now's not the time. And then Qiyamah is 100%. Kashfutam, unveiling. Now, the question is this. What is our responsibility today? Do we say that this unveiling is going to happen anyway and the tariqa governance is going to happen anyway, so let's be passive? Or should we also aim to work for and strive towards a tariqa governance before the advent of the 12th Imam? The formula which Allama Tabatabai gave, with the dhuhur, raj'at and qiyamah being one reality, but they vary in their the degrees of unveiling. This shows to us that if we don't unveil the truth in general terms, we are far away from the advent. See, this is important. we have to work to such a degree for an unveiling of X degree to happen, for this to be a precursor for the coming of the 12th Imam. Look, it's a process. The Hujjatiyya Foundation, before the revolution, there were elements in this foundation in Iran where they would even do things which would aggravate and enhance oppression. Not all of them, but there were very bad elements within that group. It started out with doing good things. With this ideology, let oppression become more and more. This will accelerate the coming of the 12th Imam. But with the introduction that I'm trying to give, this will do nothing but delay the coming of the Imam. Because for the coming of the Imam, a degree of unveiling has to happen. This is the tariqa governance. We have a share of this. We have to bring it about. Yes, the Islamic Revolution of Iran did that. To some degree, they did that. After 40 odd years, it's gone forward in many degrees, but it's gone backwards also. Before Ayatollah Raisi became the head of the judiciary, our judiciary suffered a lot. The number of corrupt judges in the Islamic Republic of Iran wasn't a low figure. And the corruption this would spread is not little. The cases in the judiciary, they're not few. Ayatollah Raisi has done a lot to try and amend, if it's amendable, which it is, but it's going to take time. And now he's running for president. Many corrupt judges will be happy with this. Inshallah, his replacement will continue with his efforts. So our duty, therefore, is to also participate in a tariqa governance. But what does that mean? How can we bring this about? So, on a community level, if all people stick to the Sharia, the halals and the harams, and stick to the makarim of akhlaq, the noble ethical traits, here, when you've done something wrong, you won't lie in the judiciary. And if you're in the educational sector, when you have children under you and you're educating them, you won't lie to them. In the political field, you'll unveil the truth. You won't be scared, as the video presentations. All this is aiding in the truth being unveiled. And that's our share in this tariqa governance. And sometimes on an individual level, there may even be people, and they may be nurtured, and they may still exist today, even though they don't introduce themselves. Where when they judge, they see the batin, and they judge based on that. And then these people may come and nurture those under them, and these people become more and more. All these elements help in this tariqa governance. Just one point I want to mention, and I will end, and this Ayatollah Subhani said this. If a non-marja would have said it, I wouldn't have had the audacity to say it. But him being a marja, it's a very brave thing to say, and it's in line with what I've tried to explain. He said, look, this revolution which came about in 1979, at the end of the day, as one of the brothers said, the main soldiers were in the wombs of the mothers. And it was during the time of the Shah, where people were nurtured and fought against the Shah. How were these people nurtured in the time of the Shah? One of the things Ayatollah Subhani said was that in the time of the Shah, they wanted to suppress the Hoze. It started at the time of his father. And as a result of this, many of those in the Hoze said, look, we can't continue like this. So they put away with their garment and turban and robe, and they went into the judiciary. They were very good seminary academics. They were very successful. But they couldn't handle all these suppressions that were happening and decided to go into the judiciary. He said that we had the best judges at that time. Now, naturally, in a particular domain, those judges couldn't do anything. But in the running of the affairs of the people, they did a lot of haqq and batil. It was a blessing in itself for this to happen. In universities, we had people like Ayatollah Fazil Tuni, nurturing students, nurturing people. In the political field, maybe we have less examples, but I'm saying even they had their share of unveiling the truth. And this led to this explosion of light in the Islamic Revolution. And now we too have a share. We too have a share in unveiling this truth. And the more we do that, the better it is. Places like Islamic Pulse, which their efforts in unveiling the truth, with a few weaknesses they may have, but in the whole, their main direction in unveiling the truth is something to be commended. In London, AIM, in unveiling the truth, with some weaknesses which they may have, and I've told them, they are succeeding. They're at the forefront in this fight. In Canada, Montreal, CCMM, what they're doing, fighting for the truth and unveiling the truth. These are things which that they exist. They're very few though. But what we request is for the Maraji who send their representatives abroad, for them to be more in line with the struggles which many Muslims are now fighting against in the UK, in the USA, and to help them more and not to make them alone. Like this, as the video presentations have explained, yes, we would have done our duty, unveiled the truth, and at least paved the way for the coming of the 12th Imam. Otherwise, as Imam said in his Islamic Revolution book, he said the Imam may come in 2,000 years' time. No, there's no guarantee. The pavement has to be paved. We can't be complacent. And inshallah, we all have our own share. Thank you for your time. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ